Maybe, since you've had a few minutes to think about our topic, which, as Paul said, is the simplicity of servanthood, maybe you've had a thought that might run something along these lines. Well, you know, being a servant, being a faithful Christian, is not simple. It's hard. It's tough. There are some aspects to it that require a lot of concentration, a lot of dedication. But you know, being a servant is really a very simple thing. Tonight I want to share with you three things that Paul says illustrate the simplicity of being a servant. Our text is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll be reading the first 7 verses or so of that chapter. If you'd like to turn over there and join me there in your Bibles, we'll begin reading with verse 1. And there are a couple of things I want to point out as we cover the first couple of verses. And then our main study will come from verses 3 through 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Paul says, "You then, my child," King James Version, I think, says, "my son." "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I have found that it makes it a lot easier for me to jot down little notes in the margin of my Bible. And what I've got written here alongside that passage is that that statement implies active effort on the part of the recipient of the grace. Now, you see, that's a little bit different from the way that most of the religious world looks at grace. Most religious people today, I think, view grace as something, well, I've often illustrated it in a really oversimplified way, as grace is sort of like what God takes a big bucket full of it and He just dumps it all over you. Well, you know, that's not exactly the way it is. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men, Titus 2 verse 11 says. Been made available, some translations render it, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There is no argument that grace is not available for everyone, that grace is there for everyone, and the marvelous content, so to speak, of God's grace are beyond measure, beyond number. But grace is something that as God provides it for us, we have to receive it and use it in such a way that it benefits us. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Things like prayer and devotion, study and application and perseverance. Those are things that make grace more productive in our lives. Those are the kind of things that are done on our part that help us to be strengthened by the grace. So you see, it's more than just sitting back and say, "Okay, God, fill me up." But that's the concept that a lot of people have of what God's grace is all about. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, we've often described that statement in that passage as being the chain of spreading the gospel. Every link shares with the next link. the things that you have heard from me, Paul said. What would those be? That would be everything that Paul had taught Timothy. All of those things that Timothy had heard and learned from Paul from the time that he hooked up with him in the early days, traveling with him on a lot of those journeys, visiting all of those places and converting all of those people and helping all of those congregations, and then even being sent out. And Paul says, I left you at this place and that place. And he tells the Corinthians, I sent Timothy. All of those things that you've learned from me, Paul says, be sure and pass them along. The same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's what being a faithful Christian servant is all about. Telling others what you have learned so that they too can be participants, sharing in God's grace. And then in verse 3, in fact, verses 3 through 6, Paul illustrates how simple it is to be a servant of God. He says, in fact, it is so simple. How simple is it, Paul? It's as simple, number one, as the dedication of a soldier. In verses 3 and 4, Paul says, share in suffering as a good soldier. The King James Version renders that, endure hardness as a good soldier. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Now, those of you who have been soldiers or may already still be soldiers know that sometimes as a soldier you may get a steady diet of hardness. There will be hardness and hardships that you will have to endure. The long suffering that you have to have as a soldier is one of those things that helps make you successful. One of the most important things that they teach you as a soldier is dedication. As a general rule, when you come out of basic training, you've got one thing and one thing alone on your mind, and that is following orders and in the process demonstrating your allegiance to the United States of America. Because you see, that's what you're a soldier for. You are a soldier to serve your great nation. And it is ingrained into you that you must follow instructions, you must follow orders. You may be called upon to live in some of the worst conditions. You'll have to endure from time to time hunger and pain and discomfort and loneliness and separation. But in the face of all of those things, it's been drilled into you that your dedication to your nation is supreme and greater than all of those things. That's what being a good soldier is all about. The same concept applies to us in a spiritual way. As good soldiers, serving Jesus Christ. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. A good soldier serves with long suffering, enduring hardship. Now, there are a lot of folks today that look at Christianity and they see it as maybe a little bit of freedom from hardship. They see it as the easy way to go, and that's not the Bible way. I wouldn't try to get anyone to believe that Christianity is a terrible life to live. It's full of hardship and suffering and so forth, but you know there may come a time when it is. But you see, those things are not important. The most important thing is serving our Master. Serving our Lord, no matter what it takes, no matter what it brings into play. A good soldier is focused. Paul said, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Verse 4. If you are a soldier, focus and concentration may sometimes mean the difference between life and death. So it is, spiritually speaking, with the child of God. We must not become distracted with the things of this life, the cares, the riches, the hardships. A good soldier is focused. A good soldier is devoted. Since, Paul says, it is his aim to please the one who enlisted him. The next time you see one of those uniforms on one of our fellow countrymen or women, ask yourself this question. Am I as dedicated? Do I serve as gladly? You see, being a servant of Jesus Christ is as simple as being a soldier. Number two, Paul says that it's as simple as the discipline of an athlete. Verse 5. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Obedience is what we're talking about. Following the rules. Any legitimate athlete understands that you have to follow the rules if you want to be a consistent winner. Those who don't follow the rules aren't winners. They make the news pretty regularly, but they don't make the news because of their winnings. They make the news because they're cheating. Every athlete who wants to win understands that you have to follow the rules. Now, in religion, it seems that some people are offended at the idea or the concept that there are rules that have to be followed. Try this sometime. Talk to one of your friends that you discuss football with all the time, and maybe he pulls for a different team than you do, and maybe you could suggest to him that the rival of his favorite team shouldn't have to follow the rules. That'll get a discussion out of him. If you pull for Alabama, then let's say that Auburn shouldn't have to follow the rules. Well, that's ridiculous. Then I suppose you'd probably have to endure a lectureship about how rules are very important for everybody, whether you root for Auburn or Alabama or what's that little unknown team that played Auburn last night? LSU, that's right. No matter who you are, rules are important, aren't they? And we don't get to lay aside the rules just because it's our favorite team. Everybody knows that. And yet when it comes to religion, the very idea that we have to follow rules is offensive to some people. I do not understand why that is. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, here's what Jesus said about following rules. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty, wonderful works in your name? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You know what that word means? Workers of lawlessness? Rule breakers. Law breakers. Then in the next few verses, Jesus taught that unforgettable lesson about those two guys who each built themselves a house. And he says, this fella built himself a house on a good, solid foundation on a rock. And he's like the person who hears my teachings and obeys them. But he says this other guy over here, he's building his house on a soft foundation. No foundation at all, really, building his house on the sand. And he's the one who represents a person who hears my sayings but does not obey them. You know the rest of the story. And we all know how important rules are. Following the rules in order to win. That's what being an athlete's all about. Number three, Paul says being a servant is a lot like being a farmer. The diligence of a farmer. There in verse 6, he says it's the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. King James Version renders it is the husbandman that laboreth, the hard-working farmer. Now, most of us know, a lot of us know from experience that farming is not an easy task. It's interesting, though, how many times in the New Testament that the farmer, the vineyard, the laborer in the vineyard were used by Jesus as illustrations in the things that he taught. If you're looking for the version of Christian living that is really, really easy, it's right up there with the really easy version of farming. It only exists in someone's imagination. Farming is hard work, and it's the hard-working farmer who ought to receive the first share of the crops. The reality is that Christian living is hard work, challenging. It requires us to, in a spiritual sense, work hard from daylight till dark. Like that song says that we sang a few minutes ago, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. I'm particularly offended by the idea that some folks think that they ought to be able to have anything they want without working. This latest fiasco that some folks have gotten in their minds that they can protest against everything under the sun and demand to have an equal share of everything that I've got, even though I've worked and they haven't. I have an idea that many of you feel the same way as I do about that. If you take the other folks' side, well, I'd just rather really not hear about it. But anyway, if you understand what I'm saying, and I think most of you would agree, that you have to work. You have to work hard for what you have. In fact, the Bible says, he that will not work, neither let him eat. It's here also that Paul mentions the reward aspect. The hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Christianity has an incentive plan built in that's just out of this world. If you work hard, you get a tremendous benefit. 1 Corinthians 15:58, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, in verse 7, Paul says, think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. King James Version says, consider what I say. In the original language, that word that's translated consider, or in the English standard, think over, according to Thayer's Greek English lexicon, it means to think upon, to take heed to ponder, and to consider. Consider what I say. Put some time into it. Really dig into it deeply. Don't just treat it as something you can hit the surface and keep going, but really think about it. Another note in the margin of my Bible here is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. Right here beside this verse, Isaiah 1, 3 says, "The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." God would say a little bit later, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Here he says, they don't consider. They don't give any deep thought. They don't give any real serious consideration to what I've said. And so Paul tells Timothy, think hard about what I'm telling you. Consider what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. I believe there has to be a parallel between, at least in principle, that statement, the Lord will give you understanding in everything, in James chapter 1, verse 5, which says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. No deep mystery here that's unclear or impossible to understand. Being a servant is really very simple. Simple as being a soldier, an athlete who follows the rules, being a farmer who works hard for what he has. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.